Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Anxious and Avoidant Attachment Recovery by Linda Hill is a relationship self-help book focused on attachment insecurity and the movement toward more secure romantic connection. Based on its stated subject and positioning, the book belongs to the practical psychology and relationship guidance category rather than academic attachment research. Its purpose is to help readers recognize anxious and avoidant attachment patterns, understand how these patterns affect intimacy, conflict, trust, and emotional regulation, and develop healthier ways of relating. The title indicates a dual focus that is especially relevant for couples in which one partner seeks closeness while the other withdraws under emotional pressure. Rather than treating attachment style as a fixed identity, the recovery framing points toward change through awareness, communication, boundary setting, and repeated relational practice. Because public information about this specific title is limited, the analysis should be understood as grounded in the clearly stated themes of the book and in widely accepted attachment theory. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recognizing anxious attachment as a cycle of hypervigilance and reassurance seeking. A central theme implied by the book is the identification of anxious attachment patterns in adult relationships. Anxious attachment is commonly associated with heightened sensitivity to distance, delays, ambiguity, and perceived changes in a partner's attention. In practical relationship terms, this can appear as repeated checking, difficulty tolerating uncertainty, fear of abandonment, or interpreting neutral behavior as rejection. The importance of this topic is that anxious behavior is often misunderstood as neediness or irrationality, when it is better understood as an emotional regulation strategy formed around the expectation that closeness may not be stable. A recovery-oriented approach would not simply tell the anxious partner to calm down, because that ignores the internal alarm system that makes separation feel threatening. Instead, the useful work begins with identifying triggers, naming the physical and mental signs of activation, and separating present evidence from older expectations. This matters because reassurance seeking can temporarily reduce fear while reinforcing dependence on external soothing. The healthier goal is not emotional detachment, but the development of self-soothing capacity, clearer requests, and a more accurate reading of relational cues. Secondly, understanding avoidant attachment as a protective strategy around autonomy and emotional distance. The book also addresses avoidant attachment, which is often expressed through withdrawal, discomfort with dependency, reluctance to discuss vulnerable emotions, or a strong preference for self-sufficiency. In attachment theory, avoidant patterns are not simply a lack of care. They are commonly understood as protective strategies that reduce emotional exposure and preserve a sense of control. This distinction is important because partners may interpret avoidance as indifference, while the avoidant person may experience closeness as pressure, criticism, or loss of independence. A useful recovery framework would therefore examine the function of distancing behavior rather than treating it only as a character flaw. Avoidant responses can be triggered by conflict, expectations of emotional availability, or fear that intimacy will lead to engulfment. The practical challenge is learning to remain present without feeling trapped, and to communicate the need for space without disappearing or shutting down. This topic broadens the book beyond advice for anxious readers alone. It recognizes that avoidant attachment has its own emotional logic, and that lasting relational change requires more than demanding openness from a partner who has learned to equate vulnerability with danger. Thirdly, mapping the anxious-avoidant relationship trap and its reinforcing feedback loop. One of the most relevant relationship dynamics in a book with this title is the anxious-avoidant cycle. This pattern occurs when one partner responds to insecurity by pursuing closeness, clarification, or reassurance, while the other responds to pressure by withdrawing, minimizing, or seeking distance. Each response then confirms the fear of the other person. The anxious partner sees withdrawal as proof of abandonment, while the avoidant partner sees pursuit as proof that closeness is overwhelming or unsafe. The cycle is powerful because both people believe they are reacting to the other, yet each reaction also intensifies the problem. This makes the dynamic difficult to resolve through surface-level advice, such as communicate better or give space. The real work is identifying the sequence before it escalates. Who becomes activated first is often less important than how the loop is maintained. Recovery requires both partners to notice their protective moves, slow down automatic reactions, and replace accusation or disappearance with more precise communication. This topic is concrete because it explains why loving relationships can still feel unstable. But the issue is not always lack of compatibility, but a repeated nervous system pattern that turns closeness and distance into threats. Fourthly, building secure attachment through consistent boundaries, repair, and emotional regulation. The title frames recovery as movement towards secure, healthy, and long-lasting relationship patterns. In attachment terms, security is less about never feeling fear and more about having reliable ways to manage fear, ask for connection, respect separateness, and repair conflict. A secure orientation includes the ability to be close without losing oneself, and to be independent without emotionally abandoning the relationship. This theme is especially important because many readers approach attachment material hoping to identify their style, but identification alone does not create change. The practical value lies in repeated behaviors that generate safety over time. These include stating needs without protest behavior, setting boundaries without punishment, pausing during escalation, and returning to unresolved issues after both partners are calmer. Repair is particularly important because secure relationships are not conflict-free. They differ in how partners recover from misattunement. A recovery-oriented attachment book is therefore likely to emphasize consistency rather than dramatic breakthroughs. Security develops through predictable responses, mutual accountability, and the gradual replacement of defensive habits with relational reliability. The reasoning is straightforward: attachment wounds are activated in relationship. So healthier attachment is also learned through relationship experiences that contradict old expectations. Lastly, using attachment knowledge without turning style labels into fixed identities. A useful contribution of an attachment recovery book is helping readers apply attachment concepts without reducing themselves or their partners to labels. Anxious and avoidant are descriptive patterns, not complete personalities. People can show different attachment responses in different relationships, during different life stages, or under different levels of stress. This matters because attachment language can be misused as blame. A partner may be dismissed as avoidant instead of being understood as overwhelmed. Or an anxious partner may be treated as the sole source of conflict rather than as someone reacting to inconsistency. The recovery emphasis in the title suggests that the book is concerned with change rather than diagnosis. That framing encourages readers to ask what a behavior is protecting, what fear is being activated, and what alternative response would increase security. It also helps avoid the fatalistic idea that insecure attachment permanently prevents healthy love. At the same time, attachment knowledge has limits. It should not be used to excuse harmful behavior, coercion, chronic disrespect, or emotional neglect. The strongest application is balance use the framework for self-awareness, communication, and repair, while still holding each person responsible for the impact of their choices. In conclusion, anxious and avoidant attachment recovery is best suited for readers who recognize repeated patterns of pursuit, withdrawal, fear of abandonment, emotional shutdown, or instability in romantic relationships. It may be especially useful for individuals trying to understand why the same conflicts recur despite affection, and for couples who want a shared language for discussing closeness, distance, reassurance, and boundaries. The practical benefit of the book lies in translating attachment theory into relationship self-observation. Readers can learn to identify triggers, understand defensive responses, and consider more secure alternatives before conflict escalates. Its intellectual benefit is that it frames relationship behavior as patterned adaptation rather than simple incompatibility or personal weakness. Compared with broader relationship books, this title stands out through its direct pairing of anxious and avoidant attachment, a combination that reflects one of the most common and difficult intimacy dynamics. Compared with more clinical attachment texts, its apparent positioning is more accessible and recovery-focused, aimed at readers seeking practical insight rather than academic theory. Because the book is not widely documented in public review sources, it should be approached as an introductory or applied guide rather than as a definitive scholarly resource. Its strongest value is likely for readers who want a focused explanation of insecure attachment patterns and a clearer path towards secure relational habits. If you would like to support Linda Hill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.